God's blessings to you as we continue our Easter celebration and look at the scripture readings for this coming Sunday, April 28th, 2024. And we, as always, want to begin with prayer. Lord, we do praise you and thank you for all that you have done for us. And we pray that you will help us to be more grateful and thankful for your saving work, a saving work which so many people still need to hear and know of in our world. We thank you for the early believers who shared that good news through your power, and that it all comes from you. And help us to know in our own lives that apart from you, we can do nothing as far as our spiritual life is concerned, and that you guide us and bless us, and we pray that that will continue. Bless us as we look at these scriptures today in preparation for worship, and guide us and bless us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'll begin this week with the psalm for the day, which is Psalm 150. It's the very last psalm that is in the book of Psalms. And the last psalms are consistently talking about praising the Lord in gratefulness and gratitude for all that God has done for us. And that's what this psalm simply does. It calls us to praise the Lord. And the Hebrew version of the phrase in English, praise the Lord, would be hallelujah or alleluia. And it really means praise to Yahweh, or the God who identifies himself as the one true God in the Old Testament scriptures. The Lord is to be praised, this psalm says, in his sanctuary, which would be in heaven, although the Jews thought of it as the earthly sanctuary also, in the temple in Jerusalem, which of course doesn't exist anymore. But it's the Lord to be praised in the heavens, the heavenly places, as well as here on earth, for his greatness, for his mighty deeds. And of course we know, based on the whole of the scriptures, the saving work of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Son sent from the Father to be the Savior. And our Lord is to be praised, this passage says, with musical instruments of different kinds, even mentions dancing, although we don't usually think of that in terms of worship, but joyously we can worship our Lord. And that everything has breath, that has breath, should praise the Lord. And that includes people, since we have breath too. Praise the Lord. The psalm keeps saying to each one of us, and our life can be a way of praising the Lord. Well, the gospel lesson is from John 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus uses here another one of his I am statements in the sermon that I include this week, talks about Jesus as the great I am, in the Old Testament basis for that, and that he's really claiming to be God when he makes statements like this. I am the bread of life. I am the way and the truth and the life. And I am the good shepherd. And here it's, I am the true vine. And the picture image here is that believers in Christ are his branches, connected to him then by faith. And of course, it's the Lord himself who brings us to that faith and connects us to himself through his gifts. And we'll see an example of that in another of the readings this week. But all of us have been brought to faith in that same way. And we're connected now to our vine and are his, our true vine, and we are his branches. And that means that it's so important for us to continue to abide in him, to stay in him. Because, as Jesus says very clearly in this passage, apart from him we can do nothing, nothing spiritually. We'll be totally lost apart from him. But through him we can bear fruit and love our Lord and praise and serve him. And again, the picture image is that apart from him, we would be like a branch that was cut off from a tree or a vine and we would simply wither and then die. And would only thing to be done is to be burned in a fire, something of that sort. And of course, that also is a picture image of eternal sorrow for those apart from the Lord, cut off from Him and continuing to be cut off from Him. But if we are His, Jesus also says that the Lord will prune our branches and cleanse us. And the picture image there is as we have to prune plants sometimes and get rid of what is dead and so forth. The Lord prunes us as He calls us to repentance and forgives our sins and makes us clean through what Christ has done for us. And we need that for our lives, not just once, but again and again, so that we can bear more fruit for our Lord. And if you want to see an example of that, you could look at Acts 15, verses 7 to 9, where Peter uses this same kind of terminology and knows that God is also bringing non-Jews into the connection with the Lord, that they are branches too in our Lord, that the gospel, the good news of Christ is for all people. The first lesson then is from Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. And it gives an example here of somebody being connected to the vine, to Christ, who is the true vine. And it happens through the word of God, the gift of baptism. And those are the means of grace that we talk about in the church, the channels by which God's grace come to us through the gift of the Holy Spirit, working through word and sacrament. And this is the story of an Ethiopian man who had heard of the true God of the Old Testament and so came all the way from Ethiopia, and it would be roughly probably the same areas as modern-day Ethiopia is, and came to worship. But he knew very little, really, and didn't understand Scripture or, above all, God's saving plan that had finally come in Christ Himself. But he's come to worship and is now going home, and he's reading from the Scripture a passage from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8, and those verses are quoted in this particular Scripture. So you could find it in the Old Testament, and then how he is reading it too. And he was a powerful and influential person among the Ethiopians. He served the Queen of Ethiopia and was involved in financial issues and other issues. And in those days, if you were especially serving a female leader, you were often castrated, made a eunuch, so that there was no danger of bothering or doing anything to the queen herself. So that was his situation. But who he is and those kind of things don't matter. Philip begins with this scripture that the man is reading and goes to his chariot, because he has a chariot and he's a powerful man again. He uses this scripture from Isaiah 53, and that whole passage is really a prophecy of Jesus and his suffering and death and resurrection and what he did for us as our Lord and Savior. And Philip began with this scripture and then used many others to tell the man the good news about Jesus as Savior. And this is a good reminder to us too, especially if we would be witnessing to a Jewish person or someone else, to use their scriptures and show them that Christ is there too in prophecy. And that's what is done with this man now. The man is brought then to baptism and faith in Jesus. He hears about Christ and he hears about baptism. And in fact, he's the one who says, what would keep me from being baptized? And of course, Philip is very happy to be able to give him the gift of baptism. as he's coming to faith through the Word of God and now through the gift of baptism as well. And then he goes home rejoicing, we hear in this passage, as a believer in Christ and his Word and the promises, not just for this life, but for eternal life that are ours in Christ our Savior. And then we hear that Philip is taken away by the Holy Spirit. It's God at work in all of this, and continues to preach the gospel of Jesus in many more towns as he goes back to where he had come from. And you might notice that this happens as the man is going south from Jerusalem to the area that's called Gaza. And it was called that in the ancient world. It is still called that today, that same general area that we read so much about today. And obviously the good news of Christ still needs to be preached there. It needs to be preached in Israel. It needs to be preached everywhere to this very day, because there are still so many people who are not connected to Christ by faith in him. And again, our tool is the Word of God and the sacraments, and especially baptism, by which we can come to faith, and then the Lord's Supper, which can help us be strengthened also in faith. And that's why those are important as a part of the worship that we do week by week. Well, the epistle lesson is from 1 John 4, verses 1 to 11, and I pretty much concentrated on mentioning that, though you can read 12 through 21. Excuse me. That would make, of course, a much longer reading. And this chapter of 1 John begins with the Apostle John warning about false prophets, and we need to test the spirits to see if they are really from God, the things that we are hearing and the things that people are telling us, because there are so many false prophets and false teachers around who are not serving the one true God and his word, but are serving, John says, the spirit of Antichrist. And we could spend a whole bunch of time excuse me. We could spend a lot of time talking about that, and many scriptures that warn that's going to happen. And it was already happening in the very early church, and obviously still around today. And anybody who's against Christ as Lord and Savior and not using the word and the sacraments is really anti-Christ. And it's a big problem still today. And John says these are people who speak not from the viewpoint of God and his word, but from the viewpoint of a sinful world, which is opposed to Christ Jesus, and especially to Christ alone as Lord and Savior, and are to a large degree opposed to his word too, the Holy Scriptures themselves. And John goes on then to tell us the kind of the central part of that message, the message that Philip was sharing with the Ethiopian, the center of our confidence in Christ too. He says it in verses 1 to 11, and then if you read on 12 and following, he says the same things in a variety of ways. God is love. And he sent his only son into the world because he loves us, so that we might live through him, the scripture says. And in this is love. The focus is not on how greatly we love God, although we do seek to follow him as faithfully as we can now that we are his, and we appreciate and are so grateful for what he's done for us. But that's not the center. It's not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be our Savior. And John uses here a big word, propitiation. And propitiation means a sacrifice that's made. And it's a sacrifice that atones or forgives and takes care of our sins and makes us right and acceptable to God. So it's a sacrifice that takes care of us. And of course, Jesus made that sacrifice on the cross for us and showed his victory by his mighty resurrection from the dead. And it's the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And we love him now and others, John says, because he first loved us. Starts with God and all he's done for us and is bringing us to faith. And as we heard earlier, apart from him, we can do nothing. So we're dependent also upon him, staying close to his word and abiding in him as our Savior and the Savior of the world. And this is, again, as all of these readings are telling us, good news to be shared with all, praising our Lord, ourselves and our worship and thanksgiving to him, but also seeking to share that good news with others in a world that is very sinful, very, very much against God and his will, at least large parts of the world where Christians are still being persecuted. And you read about that, especially in parts of Africa these days particularly, but in so many other places too. And the good news needs to be shared. Because the spirit of Antichrist is still very much around. But we have good news to share and not simply to condemn others, but to show others God's love in Christ and to seek to bring them also to him so that they can be connected to him. Well, our worship is intended to help us stay connected to Christ too through his word and sacraments. So I hope that it's possible that you get to worship this coming weekend. If you can't, again, and I know many of you that listen to this maybe are not able to do that, you can continue to read these scriptures on your own and look at them, and hopefully they'll be encouraging to you and help you remember what's really the center of the faith and how desperately we all need to stay with Christ, for he is our Savior and our hope for this life and for eternal life as well. Well, God's blessings to you all, and the Lord's blessings for a good week also.